We are focusing on Thanksgiving today for two reasons. One is because we're having our Thanksgiving fellowship today. Two, I'm not ready to preach on Genesis again. Not because I don't want to, there's just more to wrap my brain around than I've had the opportunity to do. But this will be good. This will ramp us up for Thanksgiving and give us some things to get ready for. There we go. I do have notes. That's a good thing. I'm usually able to do it with or without my notes, but I prefer having them over not. So. This is a topical sermon. Excuse me. Like I said, I'm still fighting a cold. I stayed home Thursday and Friday and tried to half work while I was fighting this, so I sound worse than I am. Anyway, let's pray, and then we'll just look. There's eight passages that we're going to look at, and each one gives us a little different perspective on thankfulness. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of studying your word this morning. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together with your believers. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be thankful in a lifestyle way. Lord, we, as we review these, are so prone to the opposite. And we just thank you for the instruction you give us in your inspired word. Help us as we study. Help me to be able to speak clearly in the midst of a cold. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless us and grow us from this sermon today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. This topic is, at one time, I thought it kind of hard to come up with a sermon with regard to Thanksgiving, and as you get into it, it's like, actually, it's not hard at all. In fact, it's very Christian to be thankful, and God wants us not to be thankful just at one time a year. Obviously, we know that. But God wants us to be thankful all the time. And God gives us several different commands or principles with regard to thankfulness that indicate that thankfulness needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be a way of life. And He gives us commands that relate to thankfulness and actually counter other parts of our lives. So the first one hits home very well. But number one of eight, what does the Bible tell us to do with regard to thankfulness? Number one, replace sinfulness with thankfulness. Have you ever thought about that? Thankfulness is a replacement for sin. Let me read the passage that's in your notes here. Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 7. The Bible says, but fornication, that's sexual immorality, fornication in all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting or appropriate for saints or holy ones. That's what the word saints means. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. There it is again. It's not appropriate. But rather, what? Giving of thanks. All of those things, and you might want to underline them in your notes. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, maybe dirty jokes maybe even there, which are not fitting, but rather what? The giving of thanks. We should approach all of those areas in the realm of thankfulness. And each one could be addressed, I'm sure, but to think of covetousness. What is covetousness? In part, it's wanting something that God has not seen fit to give you. So how does thankfulness replace covetousness? It's being thankful in part for what you have. How many here, be honest now, have things that you wish you had that you don't have? I mean, I can make a list quick. Okay. For some, it might be books. Others, it might be automobiles. Others, it might be houses. For some of us, it might be all of those. You know, you can just go on and on. Appliances, whatever the case might be. But we are not to covet those. It's not wrong to have a wish list or something. But what are we supposed to do? We're to be content. We're to be thankful for what God has given to us. The Bible even says elsewhere, having food and raiment, let's be content. Just the very basics of life. Notice in verse 5, it goes on to explain this. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, the Bible identifies covetousness as idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. We are to be known, we are to be characterized by the habit of thankfulness. And again, many of the things that we find that we are tempted by in sin can be countered by a spirit of thankfulness. Does not sin at its very core offer things that we are not to have? Sin starts out in the Garden of Eden. And what did God say to Adam? You can eat of what? Every tree in the garden, but one tree. You can eat of any of them except just one. I'm giving you everything but one tree. And doesn't the devil come up and say, why would God be so mean as to keep you from having one tree? Doesn't sin distort what we have? Even in it uses fornication several times in this passage. Isn't that even true there? God gives place to sexuality in the midst of marriage and adultery and all forms of fornication, whether it be pornography or whatever, is the devil saying, no, isn't God mean and not letting you have these? Yes. And God says, be thankful for what God has given you, and He has given them to you out of His grace and goodness and protected you from what is bad. We are to replace sinfulness with thankfulness. Try that. In our starting block follow-up this week, we are to look for examples to fulfill this. And I tell you what, you probably don't have to go past number one to be able to find application for this sermon today, during this week. Anything that you can consider sin and temptation is likely able to be countered with simply being thankful to God. Lord, thank you for marriage. Thank you for your design for sexuality. Lord, thank you that you have created boundaries to protect us in those realms. Thank you that you have commanded us to be pure, to be holy as you are holy, so that we can truly experience what joy is in this life. Lord, thank you for not giving me all that I want. Because my garage isn't big enough. The attic won't hold anymore. I can't take care of what I have. Lord, the more I get, the more it draws my attention away from you and the people that require and deserve my attention. Thank you. Number two, we are to view thankfulness as a spiritual discipline. As a spiritual discipline. In our Sunday school time, we're studying disciplines. We said that a disciple is one that becomes disciplined. He learns habits. He or she learns lifestyle changes. And the Bible identifies thankfulness as one of those habits. That is one of the things that God wants to teach you and to teach me as His disciples. Ephesians 5, once again, just a little later on in the passage. See then, God says, that you walk circumspectly, that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? I think people forget this part. I think most believers do not believe this part. It says, because the days are evil. The days are not neutral. The days are evil. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you want to know what the will of the Lord is for your life? In part, it's walking carefully, redeeming your time. Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. I'm trying to think what the King James said for that. Marv, do you have the King James there? I don't remember the word. That's all right. Anyway, I didn't feel that the New King James helped me anymore. Dissipation didn't help me any more than the King James did in this one. So dissipation... To dissipate, when you think of dissipate, it's more of, I suppose, a scientific term. To dissipate, what is, to evaporate maybe? Okay? And that's what it is, in a sense. It talks about, do not be drunk with wine, or as evaporation, if you can think of it that way. But it's dissipation or aimlessness. It's kind of just wasted. You know, the concept of drunkenness is you're just burning up time. You're wasting your life. And we are not to be those that are characterized by wasteful living. And folks, we can waste our lives in many ways, can we not? Are there not many wasteful activities today that do not require you to be inebriated, to be drunk? There are so many wasteful activities, and we are not to be wasteful. It says, be filled or controlled with the Spirit. We are to be controlled by the Spirit of God. He, through His Word, is to direct us, to direct our living. That is how we redeem the time. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? What does the Holy Spirit say through the Word of God that I am to be about? Notice here, it goes on to say, this is what being filled with the Spirit fleshes out to be, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. It is considered a Christian discipline to be continually thanking God for all things, the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things. We are to be speaking to one another. We're supposed to be singing. We're supposed to be giving thanks and submitting to one another. Those are spiritual disciplines. Those are spiritual exercises that we as believers are to be characterized by. Certainly not the whole list, but it is certainly a good list. Thankfulness is a spiritual discipline. Giving thanks always for all things. How is your Thanksgiving discipline doing? Are you constantly giving thanks to the Lord? If not, understand that that is what the Holy Spirit is directing you as a believer to do by the Word of God. As you mature in the Lord, your life will be more and more characterized by these four things here. As you encourage one another, as you speak to one another. Colossians 3, a parallel passage, teaching and admonishing one another, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So you're speaking the word to one another. You're singing in your hearts to the Lord. It doesn't even require you to be a member of any choir, but continually praising God from your heart in song, giving thanks for all things to the Lord constantly, and then submitting to one another. And the Bible goes on to define those submission relationships. But thankfulness is a spiritual discipline. It's something that God wants to develop in our lives. How's your thankfulness quota? How is your maturity doing? Are you thanking the Lord? Number three fits well too. I don't know, maybe this is a sermon for Kevin. You can just listen. Number three, replace, what do you think? Worry with prayer and thanksgiving. Isn't it interesting that God says, do not worry, but rather be thankful. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. You could translate it easily and accurately another way. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God's displacement or countering of worry is for you to request from God in prayer and to be thankful to Him in prayer. And notice what the result is. Only then does God promise peace, right? Is that what it's saying here? Peace isn't guaranteed to everybody, inner peace. It's promised to those who pray to the Lord, ask God supplication with thanksgiving. Then it says, and the peace of God, what surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Josh, would you get your younger brother, please? Keep going. There you go. Going to hang him on the wall or something, I think. Sorry about that. I think he's a little anxious right now, actually. He's probably anxious, but probably rightly so. But when he gets older, he'll be thanking the Lord for his mom. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Replace worry with prayer and thanksgiving. Anyone here worry? It's easy to do. And I'm not trying to place a guilt trip on you. I'm just saying that God says, don't worry. I've got it under control. You ask, you thank, and my peace will guard your hearts and minds. My peace that you can't even understand will keep your heart and mind. Replace worry with prayer and thanksgiving. So you could say, okay, am I worrying? Then maybe our thankfulness quota needs to go up, huh? Think so? That area? These are all very good. Number four. I think it's on the back side of your notes. We probably said this, it's related to number two here. View thankfulness as an indicator of spiritual maturity. View thankfulness as an indicator of spiritual maturity, which is really saying the same thing as number two, only a different way. The idea that thankfulness is a spiritual discipline. Well, if it's a spiritual discipline, then you should be able to look at your life and evaluate your maturity level by your thankfulness. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. The idea that it's It's a maturity thing. When you're established and built up in the faith, you're abounding with thanksgiving. Spiritual maturity is not measured by knowledge. Is that correct? Is that a biblically fair statement? I think it takes knowledge to become spiritually mature, but knowledge in and of itself does not make you mature. The Bible says knowledge simply what? Puffs up. It says in 1 Corinthians 13. Knowledge by itself, you can be very smart and be very unspiritual, because knowledge in and of itself does not make someone spiritual. Using knowledge does. Obeying and submitting to the will of God does. So thankfulness is an indicator of spiritual maturity. How are you known by? Are you known as a complainer? Are you known as a whiner? Are you known as one that is always discontent? And I don't say that for you to evaluate other people by. I encourage you to evaluate yourself by that. How do people perceive me? That may be a good indicator of where I really am spiritually. It doesn't matter how many sermons I've heard or how many verses I've memorized. And both of those are good practices. But it's what I'm reflecting in my life that truly indicates what I am. How mature I am. View thankfulness as an indicator of spiritual maturity. Number five. View thankfulness as a continuous, overriding habit. View thankfulness as a continuous. Continuous means constant or ongoing. Overriding means it covers every area of life. It isn't just when you're not working or just when you're happy or when you're sitting down at the table to eat. Colossians 3:17, notice this. And whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you say and whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything you do, everything you say should be characterized by thankfulness to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you say or whatever you do should be characterized by thankfulness. I don't know about you, but I still got room to grow in these areas. I would say that I'm learning. I've had to wrestle. Some of you know my challenges at work, and I work at a good company. I work with good employees, but I wrestle with the amount of staff we have and the workload there. And God has had to continually work in my heart over the years to learn to be content and thankful and leave things to Him. And it's helped me. And I honestly believe that if God would have answered my prayers up front for additional staff, I would not have learned that lesson. So God is good enough not to answer prayers. By the way, just for you, those of you that have thought and prayed on that, I met with my boss and the HR gal twice so far, and they're considering hiring not a part-time person that we thought, but actually a full-time person now. And I had quit complaining and whining about it. So God knows what He's doing, and His timing is perfect. So He's taught me a measure of thankfulness and contentment in His ability. and also said no to prayers so that I might learn thankfulness. And it's been good for me. I praise the Lord for that. Number six, thankfulness is a practice, this is interesting, a practice of warfare. You know, it is logical when you think of these things that if we're supposed to be thankful rather than to worry, if we're supposed to be thankful instead of sinning, then thankfulness is more than just fluffing or icing on the cake. It's core meat and bones kind of living. Notice Colossians 4:2, the way it speaks of prayer and thankfulness. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. The concept of prayer with thanksgiving, they go together. Praying to God, that includes worship, supplication, asking God for things, intercessions, praying for other people, but also thankfulness. And he mentions thankfulness as a separate thing with thanksgiving. We're to be vigilant in it. What is vigilance? It's the idea of being alert. In the army, years ago, they used to have the phrase that they would say to us, they would say, stay alert, stay alive. Folks, brothers and sisters in the Lord, according to the Bible, we need to stay alert in prayer and thankfulness, because it's an issue of battle. If we lose in the battle practice of alert prayer and thankfulness, our hearts become bitter, our perspective becomes skewed, and we become ineffective in spiritual warfare. Is that not true? The Bible warns us in Hebrews not to become bitter, whereby many become what? Do you recall? Defiled. If we... We have the Hispanic group going over there, and they often forget to... Can you hear that? I hear it very well. So I've talked to Pastor Kent. That's good. They have a large group, so I praise the Lord as they're going in. We have spiritual warfare, and we have to be careful. If we're not praying and thanking God, we don't give Him credit for being in control, and we start looking at people rather than God, and we become bitter, and we, instead of being helpful, we become hurtful to people in their walk with the Lord. We are to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. It is a part of spiritual warfare, and we cannot be effective as soldiers on God's eternal battlefield, so to speak, our spiritual battlefield, if we fail to pray earnestly and be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Thankfulness seems to be something we absolutely have to have if we're going to remain effective for God. View thankfulness as a practice of warfare. Number seven, view thankfulness as a practice of obedience. Okay. Figured sooner or later we'd get there, huh? We should be thankful. Why? Because God told us so, too, right? For no other reason. Rejoice always, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. And notice here, another, this is a command. There's three commands. Rejoice, pray, and in everything, what? Give thanks. And here again is another passage of Scripture that clearly indicates the will of God for your life. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He doesn't tell us why here. He just tells us to continuously be rejoicing, continuously be praying, and continuously be giving thanks. Those are things that go hand in hand. View thankfulness as a practice of obedience. God told us to do it. He's not telling us to do it out of his own vanity. He's telling us because that is the appropriate thing for us to do. God doesn't waste his breath. God doesn't waste his time. And he certainly tells us the things we need to hear because they're good for us. Number 8, it's an interesting concept too. Warfare is an unusual one when you think of thankfulness. You're not usually thinking of I'm fighting spiritual warfare when I'm thanking God for my food. But at the very root level it is. But how about number 8, view thankfulness as a sacrifice. View thankfulness as a sacrifice that God desires. A sacrifice. And when you think of this, and you might put it an offering. Maybe you'll write that above the word sacrifice as well. Because it's sacrifice in the sense of an Old Testament sacrifice, a form of worship. Okay? Notice Hebrews 13:15. It says, therefore, by Him, by Jesus Christ, let us continually offer, notice, continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Praise is acknowledging God for who He is or what He's done. And it goes on to explain that further. That is the fruit of our lips. God wants us to say it out loud. If you're in Psalms at all in your Bible reading, over and over, there's constant praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. It says, giving thanks to His name. That is a form of worship. A lot of people think, oh, worship service, we're gonna sing songs, and that's not wrong. But why not praise God and thank the Lord by our lips? Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. God sees that, in a sense, just like in the Old Testament when they offered lambs or they offered the grain offerings or the different types of offerings. It is a form of worship to the Lord, and we are to do that constantly. It's a continual thing that should proceed from our mouths as God deserves to be honored for who He is and what He has done and continues to do. Thankfulness is a sacrifice that God desires, and we need to view it as that. So let's review these briefly here, and each one is worthy of focus all by themselves, but number 1, replace sinfulness with thankfulness. The Bible seems to counter one with the other to say instead of doing these things, you should be thankful. And there's a logical sense there in which sin is tempting us to want something that God has not provided in place of something that He has. And we should thank the Lord rather than sit there and be tempted by the things that God has not given us or does not allow. Number 2, we are to view thankfulness as a spiritual discipline. It's something that we are to learn as disciples of Jesus Christ. Number 3, we're to replace worry with prayer and thanksgiving. It goes hand in hand again. The idea of worry is saying, God, I don't think You got this under control. Or God, I'm not getting what I think I should have or whatever. And it's just laying it on the line for the Lord and praying and letting God worry about the details. If He wants you to have something, that's fine. If not, that's fine too. But it's letting God be God in your life. Number 4, view thankfulness as an indicator of spiritual maturity. How are you doing in your thankfulness area? We are to be rooted and built up and established in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's an indicator to us as individuals of how we're doing spiritually. Number 5, view thankfulness as a continuous overriding habit. It's supposed to be an ongoing thing, no matter whether we're talking or doing, we're to be giving thanks to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, we're to view thankfulness as a practice of warfare, spiritual warfare. We're to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. It's a form of weaponry for the believer. And we cannot be effective apart from prayer and thanksgiving. Number seven, view thankfulness as a practice of obedience. God tells us to do it, and that's adequate, even though we've given six other reasons and an eighth one to follow. But God has commanded us to do that, and He tells us things to do for His honor and glory, for our benefit. And number eight, view thankfulness as a sacrifice that God desires, a form of worship, a form of offering, just like giving money to the Lord or your time or effort to the Lord. God wants you to give a continual offering of praise to the Lord. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. God wants us to develop a lifestyle of gratefulness. Maybe use this season as we lead up to Thanksgiving in the next 2 weeks to review these and work on these in our lives. It certainly is a good reminder and a good stimulation for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your greatness and Your goodness. And I pray, Lord, that You would just help us, Lord, to honor You for who You are. And Lord, to acknowledge You for Your goodness in the midst of You giving us what we need and preventing us from having what You do not believe it is best for us to have. Help us, Lord, to worship You, to battle for You, Lord, to grow up in You with thankfulness. Help us to be thankful always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.